B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Hey, Ray Hudson here. Listen, lads and lasses, I've got a really important message for you all. Stay at flipping home, all right? It's gonna help us. Distance will bring us back together and we'll be back to the magisterial life that we all had before. Stay at flipping home, please. It will help. Mwah! Adios, muchachos.
And that's why you're seeing those beautiful tears of a man whose heart is bursting.
Enrique
Casillas. Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood actors, Phil? It's the gladiators out there, man. Not tennis players. Tom Cruise. The break. If he smelt a sock of jockstrap, he ain't dead away.
Off to the far side. It's knocked. And a throw in for Real.
Talking to gladiators.
Reyes picked up.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're broadcasting from our respected homes or vacation homes or what have you. And I'll tell you this, is that if you turn on TBS at 5:30, you're getting an eye full of Family Matters.
Why are you not watching Korean baseball right now?
Because I don't care for it.
This has been, and I got to be honest, it's soothing. I didn't think I would feel this way, but believe it or not, I don't care if it's Korean baseball. Seeing a live sport on somewhere is awesome. And it's weird, and I'm looking at cheerleaders right now in these N95 masks. Very weird. But first of all, cheerleaders at a baseball game is something that we've needed for a while now, and the Koreans have figured it out.
Yeah, so, absolutely. There's nothing sexier than cheerleaders. When there's porn on the internet, I do find cheerleaders to be very exciting and sexually wonderful. But Rich, you will bring up Korean baseball, and I will counter that there was an episode of that was just on. I got up, it's some time ago, and it was Urkel explaining to his love that she was in love with his alter ego Stefan, and that she could never be with Steve. And then there was all kinds of confusion: who loves who? What's going on? And, I mean, I think that's something, a life lesson that we can all learn.
Did they wrap at any point in the episode, or is that only, like, that one where it was the wrap episode?
No. There's several. There's nothing quite like the time that they went to, hang on, let me turn off this one light. I apologize, I got to do it now, or I'm going to get screwed.
Well, there was always the episode they would do either once a season, or maybe it was once every other season, where everybody on TGIF would go to Disney World.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, is that they would go to Disney World. And so it was that, and it was the Suzanne Summers show, Step by Step.
And it would cross over, too. Like, they would see each other, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, you're at the amusement park. I mean, you're going to run into someone that you know. But, Urkel was Urkel was not supposed to be a regular character on the Family Matters. But he was such a sensation when he was on, as happens sometimes, that they had him on. And then they ran out of story ideas for him, so he created a machine that would turn him into various things. So he would become like a great karate expert, and he would put on a Bruce Lee wig, and he would do that. And then at other times, he became Stefan Urkel, where he was the same, obviously, in his same body, but he would wear fine, like, white suits and seduce the girl. Boy, it's still, hon. Boy, they really let this thing ride. 6 o'clock in the morning. And so there would be a bit of a clash between the two of them because she was all over that fine Stefan Urkel. But then when Steve Urkel would come on, she was, again, like, ah, this nerd. But then she was at a crossroads where, are they the same? Am I missing something? And certainly it turned out that she was. And at the end, who'd she marry? I mean, at the end of the at the end of the series, who'd she marry?
Gotta be Steve Urkel.
He's married Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
So that goes to show you that Reginald Johnson was gay. I mean, that does go to show you,
of course,
that Reginald Johnson was homosexual.
And huh. He loved his Twinkies. Wasn't that a Die Hard reference? Wasn't that what he was obsessed with?
Well, he was homosexual, so I don't really know what he loved, other than penis. But he was homosexual. you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gayer than a French horn.
Well, saying he was gay, he didn't like women. He liked men, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm sure he liked women. I mean, I'm sure he related to their love of penis.
Right.
But there he was, Reginald Johnson, playing these characters.
He's Reginald Vell Johnson. I think he was. Like, he's got a Vell in there. It's Vell Johnson.
I apologize there because so many Reginald Johnsons. I mean, you have
Reginald Vell Johnsons. Yes.
Yeah, you have to. Well, there's a lot of Reginald Johnsons. I mean, you have to put something in your name that will make people aware of who you are. But I have to be honest with you guys. It's been a long time. When you get up in the morning and you pop on TBS, that you see that they're still playing Family Matters. That's a little depressing, but that is the case. So what did you guys do yesterday? Big fun for Cinco de Mayo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Glorious.
Well, we got Mexican food. We had a couple of Ritas.
You were going to get the Taco Bell, weren't you? Weren't you going to make a run to Taco Bell?
Well, I will tell you this, is that Taco Bell delivers. And then I was at a crossroads because I'm going to Tennessee where I feel comfortable going through the drive-thrus there. By the way, a lot of people confused why I'm going, which is, I find, very funny because we're going to have Mara Walsh on today. And Mara Walsh was on CNN the other day, and he ain't open to anything. The city's not going to open, so, I mean, it's not a conversation, but I'm posed with, do you get Taco Bell now delivered, or do you go a mere 10 miles, which in Tennessee takes 10 minutes, and get your Taco Bell through the drive-thru? That's where we're at right now as a family, is because no one else will eat it but me. So we were in a situation yesterday. We wanted to get the Mexican food because we were celebrating very hard for the, the Cinco de Mayo. And there was a conversation of, I think I'm going to wait until we're in Tennessee and I can take the 10-minute drive to the drive-thru of Taco Bell and get enough for the week.
You know, it's
a week.
Places like Tennessee are just, it's amazing. If you travel up, obviously, towards like Maine and Vermont and everything, I forget which states have banned the billboards. Is it just Vermont, or is Maine the same way too? Like, I hate that. I hate that there's no billboards. And I know you want to keep it naturally beautiful and everything, but if you're in a state like Tennessee, like, there's, like, 18 billboards warning you as to what amazing fast food lies ahead at each exit. And you'll sit there, and, like, you'll be on roads in Maine.
They don't have, like, the signs?
No, Fred, there's no
billboards.
Those are
billboards.
Are you talking about the ones that have, like, here's six restaurants that'll be off this exit? They're so rare up there. I mean, they do have a couple. They do have those, but, I mean, like, they're rare. And if you happen to blink or miss it and you don't get to see it, like,
well, that's not good.
You're screwed.
That's not good. I would argue that that's not good for anybody.
It's well, both Vermont and Maine, by the way.
Yeah, I agree, Fred. I think it's awful because you don't know how many times. And first of all, there's times in Maine, and Dan can attest to this, where or in Vermont, where you're 20 miles between exits.
No, I've been up to Maine plenty of times, yeah. And you need to know where gas and food are.
Yeah, so if you're starving, or let's say you need gas, or you want a cup of coffee, you know, sometimes you don't even realize that there was stuff at that exit until you pass it. You're like, ah, damn it. And it's not like you can just get off a mile around mile.
But those aren't, you're calling those billboards, which they're not. They're just minor signs that would tell you where something is. I mean, I think that those are something that the public would need. I don't know off the top of my head here at 6 a.m. what I would call them. But
it's like the government signs,
like a road
that are
sign.
Like very
yeah,
small, and they've got like here, you know, here's the six gas stations that are at this exit.
So they don't allow that?
No. They have those, but they're not at every exit. They don't have those signs at every exit. And on top of that, even if they do, you blink and you miss those sometimes.
Yeah,
but billboards, like, I mean, to me, I think that that's one of the best things about driving in states like that. Like, I need to know when there's a Dunkin' Donuts coming up, you know?
No, I agree.
I I need to plan lunch. Like, oh, okay, maybe I won't get off at this exit because I just saw a billboard that there's a Wendy's or something, you know, 20 miles away. I can go another 20 miles. But they don't have that, and it's frustrating as hell.
No, I agree.
Driving through. So when you're in Tennessee, Fred, to me, that's almost like it's like your happy place. Like if you drive in Florida, there's billboards everywhere, but I sure as hell know when the next Chick-fil-A is coming up, where the next Waffle House is. I love
it. Well, to get to the airport, we're getting a car from the airport. This mystifies people why I'm doing this, which is very strange to me that people are mystified. They're mystified, Rich, of why it would go to Tennessee, which is absolutely ridiculous that people would question this. But you don't get on the freeway to get back from the airport. And then our trips into the bustling city of Loudoun is not going to be often. I mean, they would only be – everything is – the drugstore is a drive-through. Everything's a drive-through. It's the anti-Boston. Everything's a drive-through. I can go to CVS through a drive-through. I can go get food through a drive-through. I can get groceries through a drive-through.
In Texas, you get beer through a drive-through, which is fantastic.
Oh, well, in Louisiana, they just give you shots.
Yeah, they're called beer barns. You just drive through, and it's almost like an inspection. You ever seen those inspection tents where you go through? It's like that, but when you pull in to the left and the right, there are just coolers filled with beer, and there was some in Texas where they would hire these women in bikinis to bring it to you.
Well, that's not fair.
Oh,
it's not fair at all.
I'm sure they were beautiful.
To be honest, it was pretty creepy. Well, they actually weren't bad. But the thing is,
compared to Boston, where everything's a horse. But I would, I was in Pennsylvania one time. We wanted to get the beer there, and they made us pull into this like garage, and they're all owned by the government, but we had to pull in this garage and get that going. So I get emails and people are mystified why I'm going to Tennessee, I'm fleeing. Rich, is I'm fleeing as one scofflaw would. I'm fleeing the scene. Do you understand, Ridge? I'm fleeing Boston in a state of panic. I'm fleeing. Oh, I'm just over it. Just over it. Leave me alone. Let me be. I'm going.
You're going to have to quarantine yourself.
Yeah. The quarantining.
You are in both places. Like, I mean,
yes,
you're,
exactly.
you're going
I'm
there.
I'm quarantining myself, and I'm in my exposure to people is going to be severely limited. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be able to talk. I'm so sick of hearing this. I will be able to see my parents outside. It's going to be strange. I am having to quarantine myself. But, Rich, if I flew or drive, I'd have to quarantine myself for 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. I want to go there. I need to support my parents. What do you people want me to do? Explain every aspect of what I'm doing? Like, there's things beyond the lake that I have to do there. I mean, Jesus, I got to spell everything out for everyone. I need to help my parents. Jesus Christ. I need to help my parents.
Who's texting you?
Texting you. Dan, why are you leaving, Fred?
Dan,
where are you going?
Because I have to do a read.
That was me texting Fred. So.
Oh, okay.
Just, you're talking about, why is everyone bugging me? And I hear you're going to text.
Just at a very loud level. Yeah.
Someone's just trying to piss you off
well,
right
I
now.
I need to have it at a loud level because I'm not there. Yeah, but it's fine. But, I mean, Jesus, you're fleeing. You're fleeing Boston. Yes, I'm fleeing. I can't. I'm on the run, idiots.
Well, when you get back, I know that it's the company that's making you quarantine for 14 days, right, before you come back?
No, the state makes you quarantine, which is ridiculous. So I don't know. If I go to some place that has dramatically less cases of coronavirus, that I have to quarantine is insane. But, I mean, I guess I have to. I mean, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea why. But I think that might get lifted while I'm gone. I would like to go back to the studio, quite frankly, sooner than later. But, I mean, I have to. There's things that my parents need. There's things that my children need that cannot be done here. And if you have the option of, thankfully, the option of doing your job from there, I don't know why that's so ridiculous. And I don't think I feel necessary to spell everything out for people. I mean, my goodness, I share enough of myself on the air. I don't know why this is so mystifying to people that I'm going to spend, 3 weeks in Tennessee doing my job. And I have people there that need me. I have, I can do, Rich, that's odd, is I could go to public places for my parents. You understand? That is crazy. I mean, connect the dots, you morons. Everyone, I get emails, fleeing. You know what I can do is I can go to public places for my parents.
Well, all I know is that nature is looking out for me and my family right now because my mother is by herself in South Carolina, and she's got massive cabin fever, and she wants to go and do a bunch of ridiculous things. But there is, and I'm not joking because she sent me pictures, there are massive alligators walking all around her front yard that are keeping her inside.
Okay. Oh, my God. Well, that is the coolest thing that's happened from this. And I think we've talked about it. Is like, I guess the canals in Venice now, you can, like, see
yeah,
through.
Like, nature has just, like, taken over. It's, like, yeah, corrected itself.
Yeah, like, in Australia, there's, like, kangaroos, like, bopping around Sydney.
Yeah.
Like it's, like... I guess, like, the air in some places is, like, the cleanest it's been in, like, years. Yeah.
Fred, there is a picture of the Arc de Triomphe, or whatever they call it in Paris, the, very famous, thing right in the middle of the road there. And they have a picture of what the air looked like before all this started and what it looks like now. And it's astounding. It's like the air looks crystal clear because, 2.5, 3 months almost of there being no traffic has completely cleared the sky.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard that L.A.'s actually looks like very – like L.A.'s apparently looks nice now.
Nice. Yeah, I guess the air quality there is not great. I don't want to, pee on anyone's parade. But, that was the – I've told you guys this before, is that if you ever feel depressed about the, the quarantines, you can look at what's happening – with the animals, and they're running around the city. They don't care.
Dude, there's turkeys all over Boston Common. Like, how do they get there? Think of how little traffic there has to be for them not to get nailed to get
the
Boston
nearest,
Common.
Where's the nearest bunch of forest for them to emerge from?
You're exactly right, John.
You got to shoot those bastards.
So, yeah, so my mother actually has these giant alligators, and regularly, every third day, she'll send me a picture, and they'll be right on her front yard. And these are South Carolina alligators. Like, some of them are the size of, small dinosaurs. They're huge. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like a gift, because I could tell my mom is, one of these people who just, she's taking it seriously, but she's, quote, taking it seriously. Right. And so every time she sends me a picture, I'm just like, thank you, nature. Thank you for scaring her into not doing anything.
Well, I'll tell you this. If she's afraid of them, good for her, because those things could care less about her. But if it does what you want it to do, God bless you.
Oh, someone got attacked last week right near her, near Hilton Head.
I've hit an alligator in Hilton Head several times by accident with a golf ball, and they really could have cared less. They're like dogs that are used to people, or pigeons. Yeah, they don't care. But all right, we have to break. Rich, what are we going to have coming up now that we are in quarantine? And I'm convinced my mic won't work in Tennessee. What are we going to have for the people?
Excellent article in The Athletic this morning where Ken Rosenthal spoke to some of the people about what they think the beginning of the season is going to look like and when. We'll get to that.
Ooh, all right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and Rich, so much going on, so easy to fill in the sheets. What is going on in the world of sports?
Well, I will always love Ken Rosenthal, mainly because he forever gained my respect after asking Johnny Gomes this question.
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of sabermetrics, and there's a lot of numbers and stuff, the whole war stat, but when we go to playoffs, it's you want me to go to war with, So, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
Man, every time I hear Johnny, you just instructed me on what to ask you. What makes you so great?
It still holds up. It really does.
It's one of my favorite clips that we have.
7 years.
Can you imagine if you're Ken Rosenthal and you're sitting there checking, hey, I got a great question for you to ask me. The team's 10-1 while I'm out here. Ask me why that happens and why I'm so awesome. And just the fact that he just word for it, you just instructed me on what to ask you. Oh, it's the best. And Gomes practiced that in front of a mirror.
That's the thing about it is that he had that. I mean, he didn't come up with that, off the top of his head.
Museum, it's the loudest museum has been.
He had rehearsed that. he had, stood in a – I assure you of this, that he had a fantasy, much like a child would have, of, you remember when you were a kid, you'd score the winning touchdown or you'd do something like that. He had it in his head that if they won the World Series – that this is what he was going to say. And he did it. And like a four-year-old, he did it.
the war part came out so amazingly awkward that it just made it 10 times better. The second museum one's just dumb. But the first one almost doesn't make sense the way that he phrased it.
Well, no. He was like, I suck statistically. But I bring these... you know, these intangibles to the game.
Yeah.
That the common man cannot understand. and it was ridiculous. I mean, he was really like when you're a kid fantasizing about winning the World Series. And to that, I would say, congratulations on the Kansas City World Series, where you were not put on the active roster for the playoffs.
Well, he was on the active roster for the parade afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Completely hijacked that thing, you know?
I mean, Rich, if you hold an American flag, I mean, who's going to stop you?
I mean, he wasn't annoying at all, apparently.
Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon.
So when I used to drive, I would listen to I had an agent who had this client, Johnny Dare, in Kansas City. He's like this like biker guy that on a rock station, and they were, you know, talking about the parade, and no one could figure out who he was.
Oh yeah.
They were like, who is this guy? Like,
we whooped their ass.
I don't think he did much, actually. I'm not quite sure why he was there.
Because, but, Rich, if you, in his mind, if you pick up an American flag, no one can talk to you. Like,
the
you
Cincinnati! Not there.
Yeah.
Then he wore one to the White House, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, you wore an American flag suit, which is so respectful. I mean, it just shows how much he loves this country.
Well, at least with the Red Sox thing, as much as I tool on the guy, like, he had a play that, right, you know, was important. Like, the Royals thing, it's inexcusable.
He wasn't on the active roster.
No,
John,
it was
how
inexcusable.
How many at-bats did he have? It was like 10, right? Like, for the Royals? It was something like 10 at-bats. And, yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, yeah, he's a fool.
Well, since that moment, Ken Rosenthal.
But the flag. We're gonna have to break. because we're so off on time. But his idea is this, and I think it's a lot of people's ideas, that you can go into the Michigan State Senate with automatic rifles, but you can go, I got a flag, and like, you know. And so Johnny Gomes is the epitome of the people go with automatic weapons in the state senate.
And it's unbelievable what they did!
In that he would grab... And by the way, they were wearing Nazi regalia and nooses, so they were having some fun there. But he would feel that if you had an American flag, that you were impenetrable. Like, you would, Lockhart just said 30 at-bats and zero in the postseason for Gomes. Yeah. So, he had 30 at-bats for the Royals that season and was not on the active roster in the postseason. But I will tell you this much, Reg. Mm-hmm. You pick up that American flag, and who's going to talk to you?
Well, it's unbelievable what they did! But the best thing about that, Fred, is that when so they're doing the speeches, and everyone up there, obviously, you know, everyone deserved it. I forget who's even on that team right now. But they were all making their speeches, and Gomes grabs this giant American flag and is marching around so everyone needs to see him. But then he started doing something which I was like, oh, dude, what are you doing? He was taking the American flag and like the tip of the pole he was holding and knocking it into the butts of the people who were talking, like using the American flag as like an ass battering ram. I'm like, that's not very American. Like, if you truly respect that flag, the last place you want it is in the rear end of somebody on stage in front of a crowd of people.
No, it was a prop to let him talk. I mean,
of course it was. He was like, hey, I'm here.
And if he has all these intangibles that make people win, I would imagine you would put him on the active roster.
Sure.
I mean, he had 30 at-bats for the Royals.
He's in the building, and then he's up there. In the building. It's all that matters, man. War with. War with.
With his flag. With his flag. Now no one can touch me. I have the flag. I'm the ultimate patriot with my flag.
We whooped their ass!
No, you did it. Okay, you know what I did, Ridge?
What's that?
The last Patriots Super Bowl, we, the Patriots, whipped their ass. I mean, I was about as much a part of that as Gomes was. I just didn't have as good a seat.
Well, the best was when he was up there, and then we'll shut up about Jenny, because I mean, I'm fascinated with it. But when he was up there, he said stuff like this.
Y'all want to be politically correct? I'm the unpolitically correct person. We whoop their ass.
No, they don't have any impression of you. They don't think you're politically correct or not politically correct because they don't think of you at all because they don't know who you are.
No one in Kansas City knew who he was.
It was so great.
Unless you were, like, fascinated with the team, like, in, like, studying every in and out of the team, you had no idea who Johnny Gomes was. None. So, I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he's an idiot. A complete idiot. But he held the flag. I mean, you can't take that against him. And then poked people with it to say, I want to talk. Piece of garbage. I mean, he's really a piece of garbage.
Oh, right. But to be honest, I mean, it was one of the hardest I've laughed watching television. I mean, because you saw it coming from a million. You watched him, like, when they first got on that stage, I'm like, what's he going to do to try to get him?
Why was he on that stage?
Because he probably didn't even have a badge. He probably is like, like, as I said.
I have,
like,
a flag. Get out of my way.
No, like, Cape
I'm
Fear.
Getting on stage.
He grabbed onto the bottom of the duck boat or whatever it was. And then when they got there, just kind of slipped his way through security and ended up getting on that stage. And they're like, dude, who are you? I bet there are players who didn't even know who he was when he was up there.
I think that's a fair bet. All right. We will be back, and we will have the news that Rich was going to give you, but I just don't like Johnny Gomes. And so I felt the need to elaborate on that. But we will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Guff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on in the world of sports? There's so much happening.
Well, we were just mentioning Ken Rosenthal, and he's been doing good work for The Athletic. He had an article that came out this morning regarding the plan, or lack thereof, of Major League Baseball that they've got regarding the returning date. He writes, quote, "There is no plan, or can be no plan, until Major League Baseball gains a clear perspective on which states are containing COVID-19 well enough for games to be played safely in their most stripped-down form without fans." He says, according to sources, officials from at least one team, the Indians, gave their players a, quote, mark in the sand Tuesday for opening day, and that date is July 1st. Indians officials estimated that the season would begin a three-week ramp-up, putting the start of spring training 2.0 around June 10th, but the officials made it clear the dates were mere targets, fully expected to change. They simply want players to be prepared if the league meets up to all the logistical challenges that are necessary for them to play. He said that league and club officials remain confident the sport's going to return in 2020, but a number of team executives that he spoke to were fretting Tuesday over the possibility of outbreaks of the virus in states that have started to open up, such as Florida, Texas, and Arizona, which are very important to baseball because they're potential hubs in various startup plans.
Exactly.
New surges might end up leading to additional shutdowns, making it more difficult for baseball to resume. So that's a major concern amongst many of the GMs and owners of these leagues,
owners
of these teams, rather. So they also said that the league is going to follow medical experts, knowing that a serious illness or a death not only would be obviously a terrible tragedy, but a really bad reflection PR-wise on the sport. The need to shut down the game after it resumed would present its own issues. So they said, with so much unknown, Rob Manfred has had little choice but to wait. The virus in the U.S. is, as he mentions here, not even close to being under control as it is in South Korea, where the Korean Baseball League began, and it's killing it right now. And any notion that the coronavirus is fading away in the U.S., according to them, says appears to be a magical thinking at odds with the latest numbers that are showing. If you include New York, it looks like the plateau is moving down. But if you exclude New York, the plateau is slowly moving up. So the next 3 weeks, they're saying, are critical for baseball because, I mean, that's when you're going to start to see the effects of these states who have opened up. And if the virus erupts in enough places, the league might need to rethink any possibility of starting spring training in early June in the season in early July.
Yeah, and that's the reason that they should have waited, the states.
Yeah, oh, totally, it's ruining it for everyone right now.
You have to think. And again, I have a friend who's a doctor, he's very pro stay at home, and he was talking about the lag in time between the CDC and the numbers that come out. It's like 2 weeks before they come out, and I don't know. It's very complicated, and in the way that the numbers are swung and this and that, and so it will be interesting to see. I think it's going to take more than 2 weeks. I think you're not going to know until June exactly what's going on in these states. There's a million models and a million ways that this information can be reported, but
That's the problem. Yeah. You have different states with different leaders swinging numbers different ways. Yes. And it's impossible to know what's real and what isn't.
No, my friend, and this is on the side of caution, my friend said that because he's involved with the coronavirus information, and he said that the deaths take like a certain amount of time to be for coroners to decide what has happened, and then that becomes a point of debate. So
I see what you're saying.
So the numbers you're getting are not the numbers. And he believes they're swinging to
a more positive side.
As opposed to his feelings, which is that they're on a negative side.
Well, I thought this was
I had a long conversation with him yesterday, but he's a doctor, so I understand it every third word. Yes, that was his feeling on the whole thing.
Well, this was an interesting point, too. Like, Rosenthal talks about the people he had spoken with, and he said that, say, for example, the Reds begin the season at home, but after a month, the virus flares up in Cincinnati. The state of Ohio might enact another stay-at-home policy, and the league actually might need to relocate the team to its spring training facility in Arizona if that state still opened up. They said that travel plans would be disrupted, broadcast capabilities are more limited in spring training facilities, but you're just going to have to deal with that. So, I mean, that's something else I didn't even think of. So let's say that another flare was to blow up in Massachusetts – yet the Red Sox are still playing.
Well, the Red Sox can't play here. I mean,
what I'm saying is there's been talk about if that happens mid-season,
right.
Then the Red Sox having to relocate their home games to be in Florida, like, you know, down at JetBlue Park.
Right. There's states that could handle this, obviously, because of the low numbers of the coronavirus. I mean, there are states where this is – I mean, they're talking about – I mean, there's literally states where there's, like – 20 people with it, and I mean that could be testing, but regardless, I mean there are states that could do it. Massachusetts, it's not one of them. I mean you could not reasonably start a baseball season here right now. Or New York, or Jersey. Not that there's a team in Jersey, but I mean the Northeast inexplicably has been hit harder than anyone else with this. So there are places you could play, but. It's kind of all over the place. Like you could probably play in Colorado. You know what I'm saying? Like there's places that have not been devastated by this.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't play in the Northeast. I mean,
but the other part of it is, aren't we all sure that July 1st is optimistic by any stretch, considering you need at least a 3 week run up and that's only a month away. The three-week run-up is only a month away.
If these states would have stayed shut down, I think that July 1st would have been realistic.
I agree with that.
Everything's going to blow back up again. And that's unfortunately.
And hopefully that doesn't happen, but I mean, I guess chances are it will. But it's fascinating to me because there are places you could play, I mean, we all have seen the numbers. I mean, there's places that if you, I mean, it's easy to look at. I mean, there's places where the flare-ups have been far less than others, and you could play there, but I don't really know how you would construct a season because you certainly can't play in New York or Boston right now. Now, I would hope it by July you could, you know, get, I mean, without fans, like that you could get that many people on the field. I would hope.
You know what's not weird, and I thought it would be weird? I'm watching, you know, I've been watching the Korean baseball thing. To be honest, it's soothing. You know, knowing that this is actually going on somewhere in the world, and I mean, it's better than I thought it was going to be. And but the one thing that I find not distracting is I thought there being no fans was going to be weird. Baseball's such a quiet sport anyway for most of the game that it's not distracting. Like, it just seems.
But it, well, that
it's
looks
like a Tampa
weird.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a Tampa game, right? That's a great
well,
point.
Even Tampa, you got loud fans. I mean, it's weird to me, and I've watched a little bit of it too, Rich. It's weird to me with no fans in the stands at all.
It's not as jarring as I thought it would be, to be honest.
I mean, look, when the home team has a big hit, I'm used to the crowd going nuts, except in Tampa.
I cannot believe that you guys are watching this.
Oh, I'm telling you.
When's it on?
It's right now. 5:30 is – so the primetime games are going to start at 5:30
in the morning. Everybody loves Raymond's on.
Sorry.
I'm telling you, I didn't expect it to be this cool. But, I mean, you're looking at people playing real sports somewhere in the world, and there's hope. It's like it gives you like a legitimate feeling of – and I didn't think I'd feel it this way. But you're like, damn, this is awesome. Somebody has started playing real sports, and we can – maybe look to see what they did and so we could get to this point.
I mean, and then I got to think about it is that by July, because I'm thinking about it, like you obviously can't have fans. I'm thinking July 1st that maybe you could have, even here, you could have the players play.
I doubt it.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But the hope, because you have to think, I don't know. What do I know?
It's 2 months from now.
I know, 2 months from now, you would hope that you could get, you know, the two teams and in very limited staff into a building. I would hope that would be the case. I mean, it's supposed to ebb, right, in July, and then it would come back in the fall. So, I mean, you would hope that it would ebb. John, you're very defeatist today.
Well, no, I mean, most projected models had us on the backside of the bell curve and it beginning to flatten by now 3 months ago. So, I mean, it's on its own clock. I don't see it ending anytime soon.
I'm having trouble reading the cases, but it says in the Globe that we're coming down from the coronavirus plateau.
Yeah, I mean, Massachusetts and New York, you know, they've done a good job staying the course. So
yeah, because
you see
we got
the deaths
screwed.
Going down. Yeah, you see the deaths going down, which is good.
That's good news.
But
yes,
because once again, screwed. If everyone else is opening around us, like that doesn't mean – if I'm telling you, if some of these major markets outside of even New York and Massachusetts start going back up again, there's no way they're going to launch into this. I mean, if Texas flares up, I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to do
this. Yeah, you just got to hope that they don't – that it doesn't go nuts. I mean, even a little flare up, you'd be like, okay. But you would have to hope that it doesn't, you know, go off the rails. Because Lord knows the federal government's all over this. I mean, they want this to end as soon as possible.
Well, in the meantime,
with all the money they're pushing into this.
Well, Joe Girardi, who, by the way, is with the Phillies, of course, he had this to say about the July 1st opening date.
We're at the mercy of our federal and state government. I mean, that's what we're at the mercy of. We have to make sure that their states are open, and we have to make sure that there are plenty of tests and that we're not endangering anyone. Once we figure those things out, I think we'll be back. But, God, that would be great if we could be back by then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just leave it to the federal government. They're pushing out those tests like nobody's business.
Well, listen, meanwhile, you got the players getting ready for being called into spring training next month, and Dan Roach on his knees, wishing upon every star in Needham, just saying, please, come baseball. Please, come baseball. Where are you, baseball?
I don't know what's going to happen. You would hope that many people would. I don't know. I'm swinging all over the place here. You would hope by that time. you would hope by that time that you could get that many people on the field, but We're all in agreement. We're going to have Walsh on the show, but we're all under the assumption that Walsh isn't opening the city anytime soon, correct?
Doesn't seem that way.
I mean, the numbers don't dictate it. You know, well, I think that they are opening more businesses. Like there are more businesses.
Baker is. I don't think Walsh is.
Well, Walsh has been, you know, as tough as Baker's been, Walsh has been tougher.
And, yeah, because Walsh was on CNN 2 days ago saying that, and listen, I've become fairly indifferent about this, even though I think you should be able to play golf, and I don't want to get into the argument again. But I mean, I think there's some activities that are okay.
Well, I think that the city of Boston opened up like small business, and the reason I know this is because there was a story yesterday about how florists were able to open up.
But you're not allowed in them,
right?
Yeah, okay, but I think that Walsh is much more hardcore than.
It's true. It's true.
So I have a feeling that Boston's going to be shut down for another month, but.
But we'll ask him. 7:40 is going to be on.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll just be like, yeah.
I'm glad you asked that.
I actually like the answers he's giving. Like he's a man pissed off at the situation, obviously. Yeah. And I think he's done a pretty good job, to be quite honest. Well, the death numbers are going down. So I mean,
yes, that is true. That is absolutely true. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.